Well, we said that losing your first home preseason game is not a great sign. Well, but the much bigger news is that Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. are most definitely back. This is Locked On Nuggets.
You are Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Thanks for joining us and making us your first listen each and every day. We are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube, where you can join lots of folks like Justin and Josh and Joe, who's got a big question coming out. Big Honey's in here. Dominique is in here. Lots of folks hanging out with us in the chat. Glad to have you with us on a Tuesday after the Nuggets began the 2022-23 preseason, almost season. Began the next chapter in the journey. If training camp is the first chapter, then this is, or the offseason is really the first chapter. This is the start of another chapter. And on a team level, it went poorly, but it's just preseason. There's lots to build on. We'll get to all that and more today. But man, I have to make sure that we talk about the big returns. My name is Matt Moore. I'm the senior NBA writer for the Action Network, joined by Adam Mares. You can find him on Twitter at @Adam_Mares. And Adam, I gotta tell you, I was like, oh, you know, I kind of wish that Jamal was coming back just for, like, you know, wasn't gonna play until the Nuggets' first home game. It was a really cool scene last night. For it was more intimate, and Michael Malone definitely jabbed at the fact that there was the attendance was overstated, but the fans that were there,
the attendance was what?
Was overstated. He looked at the chart and he's like 12,000 people. He's like, that seems a little optimistic.
It was pretty empty, huh? Because it's funny because you're talking about this as if it was a big emotional moment. When I talked to Vogt from the arena, he kind of was like, no one was there. So I'm kind of interested in this different perspective.
So here's the difference is that the fans that were there were so into it. This is the most jacked preseason crowd I've ever seen. Like, they were really there. And when Jamal came out and got the intro, like when MPJ got the intro, applause, like big reaction, and then you hear and at guard, and like it wasn't loud because it can't be loud with that many people, but it was intense. Like, it was really, and then all the guys are jumping on top of him, and like
this is interesting, Matt, because I never thought about this, and you're right, it's preseason. That's, it's like the, for the diehards, you know, smaller crowd, whatever. But I do wonder if on the home opener on Saturday, if there's an uneven reception, that'll be weird. That'll be strange to me.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Like, I will say the reaction last night, and not just for that, but for when Jamal hit the leaning fadeaway, was it was just really cool.
It was a cool moment.
I got a little bit of chills. Got a little bit of the back of the neck, like woof, woof, a little bit of the willies. So that was, it was just really cool. And Jamal talked after the game about the coolest thing about last night, Adam, I gotta tell you, was that Jamal was the happiest I've ever seen him.
Man, I this is meaningful, people. I know it's meaningful. This is neat to see. He's been really cool this year. He's been very, like, just gracious, grateful, excited, happy, upbeat. It's been cool to see. So that's really cool that he kind of embraced this moment as well, this preseason moment.
Yeah, he was smiling when he was doing warmups, and he was grinning when the guys were jumping on top of him. He was laughing when he hadn't scored a bucket yet, and Joker flipped him the ball and was like, "Go ahead and take it." Under his breath, the free throw to get him going. And he's walking up there. He's like, okay, cool. I can, once I see the ball go in, it's going to be fine. And then the crowd starts to cheer. And he starts laughing because he's like, man, now I'm going to miss it. And he knew he was going to miss it because it was like a surge of him. Like, there was like a little surge of emotion for him. And just like him hitting the leaner and just like all smiles after the game. Like, he was just all smiles. Like, you could just tell sometimes there's just relief from guys coming back from injury. I've seen that before, of guys just being like, honestly, it's just like, okay, I got through it, you know? But Jamal was really happy to be back doing his job. Like, he was really happy to be back doing his job. Which, not to say the MPJ wasn't, MPJ was just a little bit like just typical MPJ after the game. So Jamal misses a bunch of his first shots. I will say this, preseason, I really don't pay attention much to shooting splits.
So, well, there's one exception we'll get to later in the show that I think is meaningful.
Yeah, that player I think is meaningful. But like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope missed a bunch of shots, and I have zero concerns. Like, he looked great to me. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was in the offense, finding the right shots, shot with confidence, like knew where he needed to be, all those types of things. And so like he was like in the rhythm of all these types of things. Meanwhile, Jamal looked really comfortable. Like, he looked comfortable running the offense. He looked comfortable doing, like, he looked comfortable running pick and roll. He looked quick. He looked like he had burst. He looked good. I asked him after the game, I was like, I know the real test is going to be tomorrow in terms of your recovery, but, you know, after the first game, like, how do you feel? And he's just like, I feel good. And I was like, okay, cool. That's all I want to know. So he looked good. The starting unit, the best way I can kind of say it is, well, let's talk about MPJ first. So MPJ was hilarious. MPJ was hilarious last night. It is so much fun covering MPJ for the fascinating complications of what goes on with him. You know this. I'm sure you talked about this on DMVR. I didn't catch the post-game show last night because I was at the arena. But, like, he got lost on offense, like, five times and still wound up with the ball and made the shot. Like, he wasn't where he was supposed to be. The shot was contested. It was what for any other human being is a low percentage shot. Bucket. Bucket, bucket, bucket. The guy is just unreal. He's just unreal with his ability to convert low percentage. It looked. And we've talked about this throughout his entire career, that's what makes MPJ so valuable is, and why it's like you put up with all the other stuff because he just makes the shot. And honestly, though, I will say it was really great to see that automatic nature of his shot, given that's not what he looked like to start last year with the injury.
Right. That, man, that's such a good point.
Like, last year when he started that season, it was like, oh, wow, you know, MPJ looks a little mortal, you know? And now he looks back to just like, nope, doesn't really matter what you do. He could be completely on the other side of the floor from where he should be. Nope. Still just going to catch that little DHO, step back and drain it. Doesn't really matter.
The shot making is absolutely hilarious. He had one shot at the rim last night. He had one shot. The rest of it, he goes 5 of 7. So 4 of 6 from, you know, basically outside the paint, 2 of 4 from three. Yeah, the shot making is ridiculous. It's so absurd, man, with that guy. Maybe even, I don't want to say underrated. We talk about it all the time, but it's just one of those things where you're right that it's funny to compare it to last year because we knew something was up last year when he was missing shots. Last night was much more like the previous two season sample size where it's like, it's not always, you know, sometimes it's frustrating, sometimes this or that, but it doesn't matter because he just makes them at a really, really high clip. And last night he just made a bunch of shots at a super high clip and it was great to see.
Athletically, he looked really good on defense. He looked strong. He was like in the scrum on rebounds and things like that. The effort level was there for him. Like, honestly, I thought he gave maybe the best effort of any of the starters.
Interesting.
Which is some of that, I think, is that he's jacked to be back. Like, this is a lot of it is Malone, predictably, was just livid post game. Just livid post game with the defensive effort.
Well, it was a lot of the stuff that he talked about in transition defense, you know, like there were a lot of the things that he was saying, hey, these are points of emphasis that the Nuggets look like they had never focused on those things before in their lives. So Malone being frustrated after this game was a lock. After the first quarter, I was like, there's nothing they can do to make up for this. Malone's going to be mad after the game, no matter what happens.
Yeah. So I wasn't surprised either. He, you know, but I will just say, like, Joker, Aaron Gordon, KCP, maybe 70%, maybe. Like, that's an optimistic push for me. Like, Aaron Gordon in particular is the player. This is one of the problems. Aaron can't hide it. Like, there's lots of players that cannot try and look like they're trying to get through the game. Aaron Gordon cannot. When Aaron Gordon is not using his athletic abilities, it shows.
I felt like he was pretty he's the one guy to me that I thought brought it last night. So I'm kind of
really? That's funny. That's really funny.
Aaron Gordon?
Yeah.
We're talking about Aaron Gordon. Yeah, he was the one guy last night that I was like, he looked like he was excited to be on the court.
That's really funny.
Murray looked like he was excited to be on the court. Michael Porter looked like they were excited, but the intensity or whatever. I thought
Really funny because we had the exact opposite reaction on Press Row. Like, we were just like, wow, Aaron's like – Aaron's like, yeah, no, it's preseason game number one. It's fine. And that was kind of like,
I definitely felt that way for Jokic.
Yeah, Joker definitely was like, yeah, I think Sean says in the chat, I think Joker gave 50%. Even that feels optimistic. And I'm fine with it. Like, this is kind of the thing. It's just like, coaches are going to get mad because they want you to try every single game, every single possession. And the players are ramping up in preseason. And it's like, it's not a thing to be especially concerned about.
We'll talk about 3 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 4 assists shooting, one for one from the 3-point line. I don't know. I felt like he had some standout plays that he had some plays that were pretty impressive. Now, granted, most of those were on the offensive end.
That's what I think I mean. Like, I think on the offensive end, I think the effort was there because they're trying to get the offense to work. Like, he had the dunk and then he hit a few passes and he had the 3-pointer. I'll agree with you there that, like, I think especially the starting unit wanted to look good offensively. Like, I think they want, and here's what's surprising is the guy outscored by the Oklahoma City Thunder without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Chet Holmgren. But I will say, like, I am just as optimistic today as I was yesterday. This is going to be an elite offensive unit. Like, you just see, like, oh yeah, this is going to work. Like,
well, I'm looking it up right now to see if, I mean, it's dumb that I'm looking up offensive ratings. Actually, it was kind of low. 112 basically for the starting units.
And those are down around the league. And that was after the good second quarter that they had. But second quarter, that was great. You know, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about some of the standouts from preseason game number one, including Zeke Nnaji had himself a night, and it's ish time, baby. It's ish time. We'll be right back on Locked On Nuggets. But first, I've got to tell you about Built Bar. That's right. Built Bar is back. If you haven't tried the Built Bar Puffs, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And the new flavor, delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right. Built's done it again. The cookie dough chunk puffs. So we were scrambling, and I had a box, and I had to get to my kid's soccer game. And we were signed up for the post-game snack, by the way. My son, Archer, goalie. 5 stops, 1 goal allowed. Just going to say. Incredibly proud of my kid, who was not the most athletic. And he played his face off in that game. And I credit it with having a Built Bar before the game. That's exactly what happened. It wasn't his effort or his work. No, it was all about the Built Bar. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories, and they've got a whopping 15 grams of protein, not just protein, but collagen protein that your body absorbs more efficiently and it's got tons of health benefits. It's eat something that tastes good and is good for you. It's also made with 100% real chocolate, not fake stuff. It's not filtered in there with all sorts of fake stuff. That means they're healthy and tasty. You're going to love the new cookie dough chunk puff. Whether you need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, or just need to grab a quick bite, Built is a perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, fat, and sugar, and grab yourself a Built bar. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKEDON15, LOCKEDON15, and get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at built.com. We'll be right back on Locked On Nuggets. Back here on Locked On Nuggets, thanks for making Locked On Nuggets your first listen every day. Make sure you check out the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview starting October 10th. It's a 6-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NBA season. The local team experts and the NBA insiders of the Locked On Podcast Network and Odyssey all combining into one Ultimate NBA Preview. Starting October 10th, just search for Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get podcasts. Okay, second segment with Adam Mara is here after the Nuggets drop preseason game number one to the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're going to talk about who looked really good last night. I want to start by saying I got a lot of respect for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Just a lot of respect. Like, from the very jump, they look organized. They know what they're doing. They've got a bunch of rookies. They've got a bunch of young guys. They've got a bunch of fringe NBA players. And I'm just always impressed by the fact that so many teams have rosters that are built that way and look like they have no idea what they're doing. The Houston Rockets. And the Thunder, meanwhile, look like they are absolutely prepared. And, like, they went at the Nuggets. They really, like, they played hard. They played well. Santa Clara Jalen Williams was phenomenal last night.
He's really good. He was very impressive last night.
He's going to be – my guy Robinson Earl didn't even have a good game. He was bad. Jerry was bad last night, and they still managed to get the win and led the entire game. But the Nuggets did have some bright spots. Let's talk about him. I talked a lot in the first segment, so why don't you go first? What was the first player that you thought looked really good last night?
Oh, man. Well, the guys that I thought looked good, but, you know, Michael Porter Jr., obviously, we already went over.
Yeah, BJ looked pretty good.
You know, I thought Peyton Watson, relative to expectations, like, I mean, if we do this, I thought Peyton Watson showed some really encouraging signs. And it was good because I think he played in 4 or 5 summer league games, and I thought he had one great one, and then the rest were pretty unimpressive. So I was concerned, but it was nice to see him have what I thought was a very good game. He filled up the stat sheet, 2 of everything, including steals and blocks. And then he even had a little fall away that looked, you know, pretty smooth, which is not, I don't think I ever at summer league thought offensively, oh, that was smooth of something he did. He did something smooth last night. So to me, again, he didn't play a ton of minutes, but relative to expectation, I was very impressed with Peyton Watson.
Yeah. I mean, look, we talked about the bar was kind of lowest for him. There's all sorts of concerns. He had a phenomenal block. He had an incredible block and really kind of showed that off. 2 really good blocks.
Both of them were like, it didn't look like he was going to get there in time, and he blocks it at the apex, basically. It was pretty impressive.
Brought the ball up the floor, made a bunch of good plays. I forget what it was. He made one mistake that Malone going to the timeout was really on him about, and then gave him a pat on the butt on the way through. But you can tell that Peyton is going to be like, it's, I'll just say this, like, it, game one was a really good preseason was a really good indicator of like, oh, that's what they saw. Like, that's what Calvin Booth saw. Like, okay. Like, if you were just like, I have no idea what they were doing drafting Peyton Watson, I think you come out of that game and you're just like, all right, I could see it. Okay.
I mean, they need a super defender, and that's more than anything. What you saw was, okay, he has the upside to be a super defender. And also, again, it's one game, but it is nice to see him have a good one 3 months after summer league. You think, okay, maybe there was, you know, one of the things I know was mentioned, I think, by Malone in one of the scrums was I had to talk to him over the summer. He thinks he's going hard, but at the NBA level, you have to go even harder. Like, everything gets leveled up, and he internalized that and has been playing really hard. And last night I saw that. I was like, okay, he matched the requisite amount of intensity and effort that is going to be key for him to make it in the league.
Jamal's like a 6-year veteran, and even he was like, man, it really does catch you how fast everybody is. He's like, it's just not the same as practice. He's like, you get out there and you're just like, whoa, this is fast. And I'm just trying to imagine what that must be like for, you know, Watson with coming from his history, his career history. I will say this. I thought Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was great. Had that steal at half court, got to the corners quickly.
That was a good steal, man. That was a Gary Harris steal.
He had that sequence on the jam. He got to the corners, knew exactly where he needed. Like, there wasn't a single play where it looked like KCP did not know where he needed to be. That's honestly pretty impressive for a Jokic run offense. That's encouraging that he knows where he needs to be. He understands how to fit into the offense. Like, it was seamless. There was no clunkiness from my eye on KCP's side of the court. Do you agree, or are you not there on him?
Strong agree. You know, he didn't make his shot, so it's hard for me to say impressive, because obviously that's a big part of the equation. But if you just say shot making is, you know, random, which it is, then yeah, I would agree. And I noticed this, by the way, in the scrimmage that we got to watch down at the training camp, as I was just like, KCP not only knows where to be, but seems to like being those places.
Bruce Brown, I thought, looked really good defensively. He didn't do much on offense. I think they're still trying to figure out how to get him involved on the offensive end.
I think unit as a whole is trying to figure out.
We'll get there. Yeah, that's the whole
third. But to me, that's why his offense wasn't great. Because, like, what did he do last night that you felt like he should have done better? He had some floaters, but they felt like floaters of necessity. So that's why I put that caveat there.
Yeah, that's my thing. Is like, I don't downgrade. I didn't watch Bruce Brown, and I wasn't like, oh, wow, it's not really like the offense didn't look good. I was like, Bruce Brown didn't get to be involved at all because the second unit was such a mess. I'm going to give DeAndre Jordan, relative to expectations, I'm going to give him a B minus, which is like on for this game, honestly, for as rough as it was, it's honestly not bad. Rebounded, finished the dunks, like looked at the
dunks. They had a couple good dunks, like in, you know, contested dunks or whatever.
Yeah. Played with force, looked like a, you know, looked big and impactful, looked spry, you know, like after all the questions basically about whether or not he was near death, he looked very much like a living NBA player. He wasn't making contact on screens, and I don't know if that's going to be a recurring issue or if that's going to be something that's just like, look, I'm not going to set a devastating screen on the Oklahoma City Thunder in preseason game number one. I don't know. I just don't know. My anecdotal experience with DeAndre Jordan is that he grades out pretty well as a screener. But like the role threat was there. Malone talked about that post game. He was just like, he has gravity. You have to hit him with a tag. And so as the offense hopefully figures out what they need to do in terms of how to run it, that will create better opportunities for, you know, kicks to the corner, getting them on their heels, getting them in their rotations. Like that first game kind of shows like, okay, I understand why they signed DeAndre Jordan. You know, look, the defense, it's going to be dropped. He's going to give up a lot of floaters. There's going to be a lot of guys that are going to hit shots on him, and that's just going to be how it is for the backup. It's going to be how many does he give up, and does he make up for that with everything else that he does. But it was a pretty strong performance. I thought somebody said in the chat earlier that DeAndre Jordan was fine, and I completely agree. I thought DeAndre Jordan was fine last night.
Yeah. His, I mean, B-minus.
You don't seem enthused to talk about DeAndre Jordan. You do not seem to be like, I'm not getting the passion, Adam, on talking about DeAndre Jordan.
He was all right. I mean, and then there's Zeke, which is interesting because, you know, he's starting the year, it appears, in that 11th man spot. We'll see how much that changes. But I thought both he and DeAndre finished dunks through contact in the game. So they kind of had similar nights to me.
Before we go to break, I just want to kind of make this comment on Zeke, who was awesome. Hit his three.
I think he went 1 of 2 from three because I think he missed one. Let me see. He went 1 of 3. 1 of 3.
Well, I mean, I just meant that he made one is all I meant. He made a three. Was impactful, rebounded, did stuff, looked strong, looked physical, looked athletic. You want to know, honestly, my opinion on that? I really do think that Malone wanted to see what happened if he wasn't in the top 10.
This is my take. This has been my thing, is it feels something like a test of sorts, or not even a test. Malone has said in the past that it's important for young players to earn it. And I honestly think that's part of it, is like, you can't just slot them in ahead of a veteran right away. You have to like, sort of be like, hey, we all saw what happened and he took over the spot. So I kind of feel that's the hope.
All right, let's take a break and we'll talk about the bad. We've got to talk about the bad because there was, you know, it's preseason game number one. So there's a lot to talk about on the bad side. We'll do that when we come back on Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for making Locked On Nuggets your first listen every day. Make your second listen Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Josh Lloyd hosts the number one daily fantasy basketball show on the planet. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Josh is an absolute wealth of knowledge. He's so good at what he does. Check it out, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, wherever you get podcasts. Before we get with the bad, I just want to start here. Markovic, Maggie. Shocking that there's an IC on this name. Hate to hit the panic button early, but Jokic's body language is bad. The bench looks bad. MPJ looks bad on defense. I don't know, guys. Look, I am Captain Cynical. I am Captain Skeptic. I'm Debbie Downer is what Adam is always lobbing at me.
No, you're just the contrarian. If people are high, you're low. If people are low, you're high.
Oh, thank you for understanding me, friend. yesterday was fine. Jokic has played an absolutely obscene amount of basketball over the last 3 years. Just an obscene number of in the Oklahoma City Thunder preseason game number one, Nikola Jokic is not going to absolutely bring it. It's possible that Jokic is in a bad mood. It's possible that Jokic was the body language, quote unquote, was bad last night. Even if that's the case, I promise you, it probably will not be the case in 2 weeks when they open on the road versus the Utah Jazz. Like, Jokic has earned the right to dog it in preseason. Aaron Gordon's earned the right to dog it in preseason. Like, and not even dog it. It's just, why would you spend that energy? You have 8 months, hopefully, of like 10 months of basketball, hopefully, in front of you. Why would you do it now? Like, why would you burn through it now? So I am telling you, you don't have to be worried. It's fine. Everything's going to be okay. I honestly saw a lot to be okay with. I understand why Malone was so mad last night. The defensive effort from the starters wasn't there, which is why the Thunder put up points on them. And that's something that they're going to have to clean up. Like, that unit is going to have to commit to defense. Like, they're at 1 through 5. They're going to have to make it a priority. If they want to be great, that's the bar that's in front of them. There will be nights when they can just outscore dudes, but like teams by 15 points per 100 possessions. But there's going to be a lot of nights where they're going to create great offense by getting stops. Otherwise, they're just trading buckets and they're going into set defense every time. Let's talk about the second unit. I'll just start here. Bones, after all the preseason hype, just had a really rough night. Really rough night. I will say it definitely seemed to me like the Oklahoma City Thunder actually had a game plan, and a lot of the game plan involved attacking him on defense and challenging him on the perimeter. Like, OKC looked to me like they were very much like, let's put pressure in. Let's see if Bones can actually do it. And to me, like, we can, if you want to spin this, you could be like, DeAndre Jordan didn't create space for him with screens. Okay. I'm fine with saying that's preseason. I did not see Bones get separation. I did not see Bones operate with fluency. The second unit did look clogged and complicated and like it didn't know where it needed to be. It's like that separately occurred at the same time as I thought that Bones didn't create separation, didn't drive with a lot of patience or conviction in the right spots, and generally played bad. He got lit up on defense, and Malone, you could tell, was pretty pissed at him.
Yeah, the play he got yanked for was a really bad one, because I don't remember if it was a turnover or what. Something happened and there's a transition play. And rather than get back and just make things hard, he kind of went for like a 10% chance steal. Like he went for a steal that almost certainly was not going to happen and ended up making it an even bigger fast break the other way. And Malone, I think, just yanked him right after that. Yeah, he had a rough night. If we compartmentalize this in two areas, one, last night, Michael Malone, you mentioned the game plan. It's funny. I feel like the Nuggets offensively didn't have a whole lot that was like, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to try to do this. And it's Malone's MO. He wants to build the defense before the offense, and the offense felt a little bit hodgepodge. But the defensive effort definitely wasn't there from a lot of guys. And I think Bones, being the youngest guy and being one of the guys that was the worst defenders, Malone had to quick hook with him. Like, hey, it's preseason, yes, but I'm actually pulling you out, even in a preseason game where you should have played probably another 10 minutes just to make the point of, hey, this can't slide. And look, I expect Bones is going to be a lot better on that end of the court in game two. Of more concern to me, and maybe it shouldn't be, but of more concern to me was that second unit didn't – it's to me, it wasn't, oh, DeAndre went setting screens and Bones wasn't shaking guys or that. It's that it just didn't – it didn't seem to have a game plan beyond Bones to do something. And last night, he couldn't. And so, to me, it looked like there wasn't great spacing. There wasn't a very dynamic offense. He was on the ball for large portions of it. And it's similar to what we saw in the scrimmage in San Diego. The only difference was Bones made every shot in that game, in the scrimmage. And he didn't really make many in this one.
All right, so I'm going to use you as the deciding factor on this. Jay says spacing is the main thing they got to build on, in my opinion. So this was the debate last night. We're on opposite sides. I am willing to concede my position. In your opinion, the problem was that there just isn't enough spacing on that second unit lineup. Is that like, I know you said like a lot of things. You're right. They didn't use Bruce Brown in any sort of like, he wasn't getting the ball as secondary ball handler. They didn't run Spain pick and roll. They didn't run anything of any complexity to create anything. They weren't running off ball stuff. There was nothing. It was just like dude standing around in the screen, a high pick and roll. Outside of like adding more mechanisms, is your opinion that a key component was that there just wasn't enough spacing with the personnel out there?
I think that's a big part of it, for sure.
Okay,
for sure.
I didn't find that to be the primary issue. I didn't think the Bones ran what they were intending to run there.
That might be
correctly. I could be wrong, because look, Ryan Blackburn, Asher Levy, they both were like, no, it's the spacing. If you get Zeke out there, it's all better. And I'm just like,
I want to say this though. Watching them at training camp, they played the exact same way. Where Bones, and it was one of my notes from training camp, was I was like, wow, the ball's just in Bones' hands a lot, and they're kind of counting on him to create stuff.
Yeah, and I think, like, my concern with the idea of, like, well, just play, if you just play Zeke at five instead, it's all going to be fixed, is I'm like, I think most teams in that situation in the second unit, they're just going to call for switch. And they're just going to switch it. And then maybe Bones has a mismatch, maybe he doesn't. I just think that neutralizes a lot of what they're trying to generate. Like, I do think with that second unit, they're trying to run traditional pick and roll. I would have loved to have seen Bruce Brown with the ball more last night. Like, I thought Bruce looked really good. He obviously knows what he's doing. And it felt like the way that they used him last night was kind of a waste. And that's fine in preseason game number one. It's fine. Like, it's nothing. But honestly, like, I think Bruce is so dynamic. Either they need to be running pick and roll with him as a screener, or he needs to have the ball in his hands. And I'm not saying, like, he's an awesome one-on-one creator. Just get him involved. He's a weapon. Like, let's involve him a little bit more. And look, the other thing is, this was a hockey lineup, right? And this happens a lot in preseason. The starters only play together because they're trying to build starter chemistry. What? Oh, ooh, you're making a face. Hit me.
They did this last year. I think there was definitely some preseasonness to the rotation, but I still think they're going to have five-man bench lineups.
If that's true, if there is zero stagger.
They're stagger. It's just not a very long stagger. It arrives. I mean, last year that's how it was. There was 3 minutes of stagger, and then you arrive at the full bench unit in the second quarter.
Right. I agree with you. If that's the case, then that's a mistake. Like, I will, in my humble opinion, Michael Mullen doesn't give a shit, but I think I think they got it. Like, I don't think you have to have one starter out there at all times. You can get through the first, I don't know. You can get through to the 9 minute mark of the second quarter with an all bench. But outside of that, guys need to be staggering in. Like, somebody from the starter unit is going to have to go out early and come back in this early second. I just think I think that'll help a lot. I think that it'll improve a lot of what they're able to do. So I thought that it was really, it's interesting though, that I'm of the opinion that it was more the dynamics of how they played rather than the personnel. And there seems to be if you just put more spacing, like, I'm always resistant to the idea that spacing fixes everything, but that's because I'm a...
Of course, but that's because you lend nuance to your argument and none to the other people's argument. Of course, it's not just a matter of, like, give them Michael Porter and they're going to have spacing. I mean, I have no concerns coming out of yesterday minus one, and that is that five-man unit, to me, looks like it is inevitably going to have holes. Some of those are just having more creators and ball handlers. Some of that is going to be in having more spacing and shooting. So it's like a mix of things. I don't think it's just like swap this guy out, put that guy in. Now we have more spacing. Like, to me, and again, I wouldn't think this after one preseason game, but it does match what I saw. And it was my biggest note. Now, Bones made everything in the scrimmage. That's what kind of disguised it. He made a three from 35 feet away. But like, if you're counting on that, those are nice things that add to your to a unit. But if that's what you're counting on, and last night it almost looked like that's what they were counting on, was Bones, can you do something dynamic here? Maybe that was Bones. Maybe that was not the game plan, but that was Bones' sort of decision-making there. I don't know. But to me, it now moves into a thing that I'm like, line item number one with the entire team for me is that bench unit has some question marks that might be answered in the preseason, but it might end up being a storyline.
That's a really good argument. Like, that's honestly, I can see, like, I think you laid out points really well there. I thought Ish was awesome, predictably, because I'm Matt Moore. Like, blocked a guy in the post, played really tough defense. I thought
he blocked the guy by going, like, straight up like this. It was, like, a really, like, a uniquely impressive defensive play. Because he's not that tall, and he somehow jumped, like, straight up like that. It was really crazy.
A lot of, like, my argument for the specific mechanism, like, how Bones played, is built off of, like, when Ish was running the second unit, it looked way better. Like, I thought the second unit looked good when Ish was running it. Like, Ish looked like the thing I've been saying.
There's no question, but a lot of that had to do with, I mean, when Bones on the court, he had a 93 offensive rating. The Nuggets had a 93 offensive rating. So it was, you're starting from, oh my God. Guess what the offensive rating was with Ish on the court?
What?
91. Bones at the helm, 93. Ish at the helm, 91. The difference was defensively, obviously.
See, and I genuinely thought the offense looked better. Like, I thought it.
I thought it looked better too. So.
So anyway, I mean, look. If anything,
I know what it is. I'm pretty sure he was on the court for that stretch in the fourth quarter, which was basically the third string where they didn't score for like 6 minutes. So I'm guessing it got weighed down.
Oh yeah.
Remember that late run where they just didn't score. Yeah.
So, if nothing else, I do like the fact that, you know, I kind of was like, hey, I really do think Ishmith is like good, and he definitely looks like no, Ishmith can come in and run like backup point guard if somebody's hurt, if Jamal's taking the night off, or if you need a third guard. Like, Ishmith was told like a pleasant surprise last night. As far as the deep bench guys, I will say I thought the final unit outside of Ish and Zeke, I thought, and Peyton. So, like, Peyton looked good. But, like, I thought Davon Reed looked really bad last night. Like, Davon Reed last night was, it was like, I was like, oh, that's what Adam's talking about. Like, that literally was a thing I said last night. Like, there were plays where I was like, oh, that's what Adam says about him. Like, it made a lot more sense. I'm gonna look, there's been a lot of conversation in the chat about Christian Brown. I'm going to go easy on him. It's his first preseason game. The shot is becoming a level of, is that the guy that you mentioned at the top of the show that you were a little bit worried about in terms of the shooting?
Well, you said something that shooting doesn't matter. And I said, with one exception
guy,
and here's the thing, like, again, it doesn't matter that he went 0-6 or whatever it was. It matters to me that he seems to be a guy now from summer league and now this that can get rattled when his shot's not going in. And that's the part. He passed up wide open shots that he needed to take. He started pressing on drives to the basket and this or that. And that, to me, I said that I think he's going to play this year and sooner rather than later. One thing that can derail him is confidence. The difference between him and Davon Reed is Davon has an enormous amount of confidence, and that goes a long way, not just for yourself individually, but for your teammates. I have to imagine, if I'm Jeff Green, a veteran, or DeAndre Jordan, a veteran that's been in the league for over a decade, and I watch Christian Brown play, if he plays like this 3, 4, 5 preseason games in a row, I have to imagine that if I'm out on the court with him, I don't have confidence in that guy. Because he doesn't have confidence in himself, how could I have confidence in him? So to me, again, it's one preseason game, but Christian Brown, to me, it's becoming clear that his challenge to getting on the court this year is going to be as much about his own personal confidence and ability to knock down shots as anything.
We gotta get out of here in a few minutes. I will say, as far as like rookies go, I've just seen so many, like Cade in particular, shot absolutely, like, he was like 13% from three for the first like 3 months of the year last year. Like, there's just a lot of guys that just cannot hit. Chris Paul is another one of my favorites. Chris Paul actually shot really poorly in his rookie season relative to his career. But yeah, the hesitation thing is something he can't do. So the coaches have got to get on him to make sure that his stuff stays up there. There's been some talk about Vlatko in the second unit and Vlatko over Davon. I want to ask you, what did you think of Vlatko last night? I know he's like, look at
the end. Really good. I mean, Vlatko's always.
Wow. It's so crazy because basically a lot of your position.
You make not want to talk about these guys.
Here's my thing. Is like, I'm willing to be like, maybe I just don't see it. Like, the folks I talk to
on he's Sebastian. I get it. He's not going to play. He's not going to take.
No. It's just like media row was even. We were all like, because there was just like a bunch of possessions where it looked very clunky when he was trying to create. I thought he was.
I mean, he's not a creator.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's just it. Like, in that second unit, in that last unit, he was trying to create some stuff because they had to, and he can't do that.
I mean, he was on the. What was his offensive rating? It was probably like 12. 80, it was 85. Him, Christian Brown, Zignaggi, Peyton Watson all had an 85 offensive rating. I mean, that lineup – again, that was lineup of just the end-of-bench guys. But
okay. Do you have anything else from the notebook that you want to get out on preseason game number one?
That's it.
Okay, they're holding practice today. I can't make it up there. I've got too much other stuff to do. But
by the way, not a scheduled practice.
Yeah, by the way, I called it, by the way. I said this last night. I was like when they after the start, like I think it was like second quarter, I was like, they're definitely practicing tomorrow, which is just pretty hilarious. By the way, people are talking about the internet connection. Sorry, Adam's at the office today. Sometimes it goes, you know, and now our restream has a lot of problems in terms
of. It's restream. It's not the internet. Our internet is like insanely good. It's this. Yeah. We're almost, we're going to move off of it to a new platform, though, in the next month.
Yeah, so like our when we switch over to a new platform, a lot of these problems, fingers crossed, will be abated. We thank you for sticking with us. Comments about my mug today. I apologize. Honestly, it's the largest mug I have, and I just woke up because I was out getting back from the game, exhausted me with the COVID stuff, and I needed as much coffee as humanly possible. This is the largest mug I have, so I'm very sorry about that. Let's ride. Let's ride. I'm just gonna start using that as like my punchline for everything to try and get the 5-star reviews. Let's ride. Okay, guys, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate you joining us. A lot of stuff that we got to today. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe. Give us the 5-star reviews. Follow us on YouTube. Hit the subscribe notification button. You can join the chat. Hope you guys have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked on Nuggets.